Police station.
Oh, come quick. There's a man trying to break down my bedroom door. It's bound to give way in a minute. It's only got a cheap lock on it. Oh, dear. Do hurry, he's nearly through. It won't be long before.
Madam, what's your address, madam? Are you still there?
He's broken down the door and got out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Ah, stop messing about. Hello and welcome. Well, I suppose you all read about me in Sunday papers this week, huh?
Was that you, Mr. X of the Surbiton Balloons and Treacle scandal?
No, it was not. I wish it had been.
But who can afford a chandelier that size?
No, I meant my serialized war memoirs, how I sneaked up behind Hitler and shortened it by 3 weeks. You see that? You see it?
I saw the first installment, lovely. Yes. I saw the photo of you leaping out of a landing craft, proudly waving this big flag. White it was.
Better safe than sorry. That was at Normandy. I was responsible for the very first assault on the beach there.
I was responsible.
That doesn't entirely surprise me.
Yes, mentioned in dispatches I was for taking a pillbox single-handed.
You found it in a medical orderly's knapsack.
Yes. I don't know what the pills were, mind. But I haven't had the same pleasure out of life since. Oh, it was hell on those beaches. Oh, hell. I never thought I'd come out alive.
And did you?
Oh, satire. Miss Sharp out the knife box. I let them know I was decorated by none other than Rommel himself. A brilliant general, but a bit short-sighted.
Now, wait a minute. I've been standing here working it out.
Have you?
Yes. The landing on the Normandy beaches was in 1944.
Yes.
That means you were 4 years old.
I wonder why they issued me with a bucket and spade instead of... Yes, that had occurred
if
to me.
If you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Williams, I would conjecture that the entire thing is mendacious taradiddle.
Oh, bless you for those few kind words, Douglas.
Carry on announcing.
Thank you. Problem Corner. Here, spreading a little tragedy as he goes by, is our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse Partner, and my problem is I have this awful dread every time I turn on the television.
And we all have that.
I haven't finished.
Oh.
This awful dread that they'll do a series of programmes about how I was Monty's right-hand man in the Middle East campaign.
Oh, were you?
No, I wasn't. I spent the whole war managing a naffy in East Grinstead. So I have written to the BBC.
Really?
I said, Clarence J. Mouse Partner was never in the Middle East, and whoever says he was is a liar. And I signed it, a well-wisher.
Did they reply?
Yes. They said, Dear Mr. A. Well-wisher, we have passed your letter to our legal department.
Well, I don't think you need worry.
Oh, but I do.
I thought you might.
Don't interrupt. Suppose I find myself in court for having libelled myself.
Well, one of you would be bound to win.
But one of me is bound to lose. And I'd have to pay the legal costs on both sides, which would ruin both of us. That is why I have taken out an insurance policy.
A very wise move.
Yes, but it presents another little problem.
What's that?
I can't afford the premium.
Once again, it's Crackerjack and Audie with Mother Time, and adjusting the pom-pom on her naughty bonnet, here comes Twinkling Maud Nethersole.
Hello, tinies. And piggies, too. Goodness, what cold hands the fishmonger has. That's because he spends all day handling fish, who live in a place that's very cold and wet, which brings me to our story. Once there was a lonely mermaid called Edith, who felt terribly out of the swim, and after a hair-raising blind date with an octopus, she developed an allergy to fish. So she used to sit on a rock singing, "What shall we do with the drunken sailor?" Rather a hypothetical question in her case, for reasons I'd rather not go into. But one day she heard a young turtle saying,
"Oh, thanks, how very perceptive of you to notice,"
said Edith, who was extremely proud of her bel canto, which had taken years to develop. The turtle, whose name was Charles, told her how he'd run away from home because his father, known as Old Soupy, was always getting canned. He joined Turtles Anonymous, disguised as a haddock, but they told him regretfully that he'd never be cured. Anyway, Charles the turtle looked so miserable that Edith tried to cheer him up. "How about another song?" she said, and launched into one fish ball, hoping it would bring Charles out of his shell. And he did, right out, for he wasn't really a turtle at all, but a prince who'd been turned into a frogman by a wizard who couldn't spell. And that's why he turned turtle. I hope you're still with me. Anyway, now it's time for the song. And with any luck, here's one from the days when knights were bold. A lady sat in a castle high and saw a knight who was riding by. She shouted down to the knight below with a most inviting smile. "It's rather a long way up, I know, but the view makes it well worthwhile." The knight got down from his piebald mare. He crossed her moat and he climbed her stair. To find her room took an hour or so. And then, of all the luck, he couldn't even say hello, 'cause the hinge of his helmet stuck. And when at last he had loosed the screw and removed his spurs and his breastplate too, the lady said with a nervous cough, "I don't wish to sound unkind, but now that you've got all your armor off, well, I find that I've changed my mind."
And now, unfurl the bugles, blow the banners. It's time now for my correspondence corner, devoted this week to indoor games.
At a party, we played an exciting game called Musical Beds.
Is that like musical chairs?
Yes, but it's much harder to get a volunteer to play the piano.
I'm often asked, what is a good game to while away an afternoon? I say blow football.
And I say tish to cricket.
And may I add, I have my own unique method of playing blow football.
I don't think I want to hear
what that. I usually do is I get behind my opponent's goal and I suck.
Well, if that's what turns you on.
Yes.
Years I've been looking for a partner for a false game of ping.
What about the pong?
I think that's what's putting them off.
My boyfriend got me in the back row of the cinema last night, and, well, he's ever so passionate. And, well, after a bit, I felt one of my straps go. Well, I didn't feel it. I sort of heard it. You know the sound they make.
Snap.
Oh, it's happened to you as well, has it?
Ha ha ha!
have got a little wooden bow and arrow. The arrow has a sucker on the end, and it only costs 15 guineas.
Sounds like there's a sucker on both ends to me.
Last night, I went in off the cushion, you see.
You are talking about billiards, I hope.
Where else? And afterwards, I took a long rest. Well, it's such an awkward position,
yes,
you see.
Yes, well, that's all the letters we have time for.
Well, I took my pill. Here, get your hands off me. You can't just cut off my...
Oh, yes, we can. This week, Varding Back takes a look at the thrilling world of the racing driver as we meet two of the fastest men on wheels.
Oh, hello, my name's Ben and this is my co-driver, Her.
Hi, hello! Oh, how lovely to be back. Oh, how very exhilarating to vow the chromium trim on your bumpers.
Thank you, and permit me to compliment you on the styling of your bonnet.
Oh, any boat! No, bonnet, Ducky, it's a custom-built crash helmet.
With broderie anglaise ruching.
The only reason I stuck that on is so it matches me overalls, Miss Clever Clogs.
Always a great one for the matching accessories, aren't you? Even got a bow on his dipstick, haven't you?
So I know what it is when I'm stripping down the engine.
I believe there's a lot of money in being a racing driver.
Oh, no, not when you start, love. No. For years I was living on the smell of oil rag.
Wreak havoc with his sinuses.
Oh! One day, everything seemed to fall into place.
It didn't fall, Ducky, it was pushed.
Oh, no.
And tell him who pushed it.
I can't. No, I can't.
I'll tell him.
Rather draw the veil.
Draw the veil? It's a bit late for drawing veils, isn't it?
Stupid silly.
If you have to know me, Axe, go on. Brazen it out.
No!
Brazen it out.
No.
Yes, go on. You ran into this fella, didn't you? Come on.
Well, he ran into me, really.
Yeah. Yes, go on.
So I was just admiring his hubcaps. When he started up the engine.
Bang!
Ah, bang!
Bang, Ducky.
Yes.
Fell right on his big end.
Oh. Ruined me, no claim bonus.
Ruined.
Any road out, he turned out to be a top Italian racing driver.
And tell him his name.
No.
Tell him his name.
No.
Ah, tell him his name. It was Luigi Clintola. Come on.
Luigi Clintola, yes. What he didn't know about internal combustion wasn't worth knowing. What a beautifully tuned engine.
Perfect pitch he had. And very musical he was.
Oh, very, yes. Lovely tenor voice he had. His La Donna e Mobile was a treat for the ears.
Oh, yes. And his Donna wasn't the only thing that was Mobile, was it?
No.
Not by a long chalk. Tell him about the time you hung your handbag on his choke.
Oh, I can't. No, I dare.
Tell him. Go on.
Shall I?
Yes.
All right, I will. He took me up on this lonely stretch of road you see, and he said he'd teach me a 3-point turn. That's when it happened.
Yes. Picture the scene, Ducky. There they are on this mountain road.
Oh.
An advert for life insurance on the one side and a 1,000-foot drop on the other.
Mother.
My friend takes the wheel and starts doing his 3-point turn.
Slow, quick, slow.
Suddenly Luigi's eek goes dead white beneath his tan. Mamma mia, he screams. But did you take any notice of his mamma mia?
No, I thought he was having a little sing.
A little sing? You only had your back wheels hanging over the cliff.
Oh, no.
That's all.
Oh, no.
And tell him what you said.
I can't.
Tell him what you said.
I can't.
Tell him what you said when Luigi grabbed the wheel and implored you to use the driving mirror.
I can't. No.
Tell him what you said.
Don't mention the mirror, please.
Tell him what you said when you looked in it. Tell him what you said.
I looked in and I said, mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?
Time now for our weekly focus on the folk scene. And here, once seen, instantly forgotten, are Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepolty. Are you going to delight us with yet another chart buster?
Yes. Here's a song of ours which has just reached number 95 and is still moving.
Yes, last week it was 85.
Well, let me know when you reach a century.
Oh, Shenandoah, I love your auntie. Pontiflor, who lives in Wembley. So can he marry her or Conti?
He loves your Auntie
Flo. She makes me weak and trembly. Shenandoah, she's like a goddess,
like a goddess, Shenandoah. A plastic rose upon her bodice
that is cut extremely low, wouldn't go much lower. Shenandoah, please won't you tell her,
or his heart will break in pieces,
unless, of course, she is a fella.
If so, then it's no good.
It is no good.
How about your nieces?
Time now for our film adaptation. This week, the story of a daring robbery. In the great tradition of Rififi and Top Cappy, we present... Top Fifi.
My name is Noel Tweegonox. Mastermind of the criminal underworld. My villa overlooks the harbour in Monte Carlo, and as I step out onto my balcony, a thought occurs to me. I haven't got a balcony. Oh! No matter. Achoo. I should tread water as I unfold my tale. It all began one day at a pavement cafe. Garçon! This pavement isn't cooked properly. Take it away, please, and bring me a lightly boiled curbstone. And to drink...
Oui, monsieur.
No, just me. Champagne, 47, I think.
The waiter brought him 47 bottles of champagne.
Thank you, waiter. Sit down. I wish to talk to you. What is your name?
Pierre, monsieur. I was born in Lancashire. They call me Wigan Pierre.
How very tiresome for you. How would you like to earn 10 million francs, Pierre?
Monsieur, you are far too generous.
I haven't told you what you have to do.
I wasn't born yesterday, monsieur. You are the master criminal, Noel Tweegollox. You make your living by robbing rich women.
Robbing, not robbing. Less fun, but more money. Listen, Pierre. I'm gathering together a gang for a coup.
Coup?
You all do. Meet me tonight.
Later the same day, a waterfront dive.
Oh, damn, I'm always doing that.
He clambered out and pushed open the door of the Club Taboo, famed for its torch singer, Gabriello Fidget.
That's me. I sing with a torch in my mouth. Well, it's so dark in here, I can't see a hand in front of my... Oops! Yes, I can.
It's only me, madame. I have a proposition to put to you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, what do you say?
I'll have to ask my mum. Mum!
Well, it's up to you, my dear. It's only as long as you wear your Wellington.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, well, right, Mr. Tweegollox, I'm one of you.
Could have fooled me, old chap. Right, Meet me tonight.
That night, a small group gathered at the Villa Tweegollocks.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce my right-hand man, Chanda Billabong, known as Fingers for reasons that will become apparent as you get to know him better.
Thank you, Blue. Now, here's the sit-up sports. This Pommy Poof doll here has dreamed up a fair dinkum scheme for robbing the casino.
Rob the casino? Impossible.
Down come the raw prawn, Sheila. Noel here will twang his tonsils about it while I shoot through for a toot on me didgeridoo, Blue. Excuse me.
So ends this week's edition of Suive la Kangaroo. Back to the plot.
Here are your individual instructions. Please read them out. First you, Pierre.
I am to wear a low-cut dress and flirt outrageously with the guard in order to distract him and then
yeah,
get...
Yeah, that can't be right.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
No. I mean, you've got my instructions. I'm the one who's supposed to flirt outrageously with the guard. Here, wait a minute. Is it that tall fellow with the wavy hair?
That's right.
Sorry, as you were.
One week later, the master plan swung into action.
Right. Here we are in the sewer beneath the casino. You know what's going on up above.
Yeah. And that's what worries me, Blue. There's thousands of people up there, Blue. Won't they hear us breaking into the vault?
I, Douglas Smith, play the casino vault. And I have an incredibly complicated combination.
And what if you've got your number?
Be that as it may, outside me stands a casino guard.
Yes, that's me. I stand here grasping a small submachine gun, all set to spray any suspicious characters.
Hello, handsome.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, it's a woman. What's that you've got in your hand, miss?
A membership card to the Athenaeum.
But that's a club.
Exactly.
She hit him over the head with her teeth. He collapsed in a heap.
Yeah, stupid place to put a heap.
Oh, I'm flying unconscious.
Oh, well done, ma chérie. Help me to drag him up.
Well, there's no time for that. The other two will be almost through to the vault.
We're through, Blue. We're inside the Douglas Smith. Look, piled up against his walls, millions of beautiful francs.
It's all right. It's us. I've got the keys from the guard. I can open the safe deposit box.
I think we should just take this money and go.
Nah, let's open the box.
Take the money.
Open the box.
Take the money.
Open the box.
Take the money.
I'll open the box. Oh, here I go then.
Hand me the card. Don't look at it. That's the way. Oh, dear.
What have I won?
This week's booby prize. A plastic reproduction of Lord Elgin's marbles. And a record of Les Compagnons de la Défense de Messing about singing the ballad of the Tweegollocks gang.
Oh, money, money, money. We never get enough of it.
There's marks and banks in sundry banks.
We thought we'd steal a bit.
A bit of it.
Our next big job, we tried to rob the little bank we knew.
We tunneled and tunneled and tunneled and tunneled.
Came up in the gendarme's loo.
So ends this week's film adaptation. Time only for Joan Sims with a warning to the miniskirted generation.
Watch out for tall dogs with cold noses. Woo!
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons. We'll be right back.